Bible with you today, our opening passage is going to be 2 Samuel. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 20 together, 2 Samuel chapter 22. And while you're turning there, let me give you a few prayer requests. Continue to pray for Lisa Trilling. She had eye surgery this past week and then has another surgery coming up. So pray for complete healing and for the other surgery coming up. Didn't get a chance last week to mention, but Mac McCreary lost his sister-in-law, so please pray for Mac and for his whole family. And then also, Tim Walton has actually started the process of receiving a license to minister, which is just kind of a formal step. And absolutely. And a part of that process is that we are to announce to the congregation so that if you have any feedback to give the elders, that you would do that. And so I know they would really appreciate it, but pray for Tim as he takes that step. What an awesome guy. Okay, each week in our series, we've taken a few minutes to talk about the word blessed and kind of give maybe some teaching as to what the word means in Scripture. And so we've looked at what the word, how it's delineated really in the Old Testament, because it means something very specific, and then how that changed a little bit. Last week we talked about the New Testament and some of the ways that we see it a little bit differently in the New Testament. We've also talked about who it is in Scripture that is called blessed. Who is it that's blessed? So those are some of the things we've looked at the last few weeks. Today, for a deeper understanding, I want to just show you a pivotal verse when it comes to the idea of blessings. Okay, it's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and it says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Now, that's a pivotal verse because it explains exactly what it is that we're talking about. Paul explained that the idea of being blessed and receiving blessings, it's a huge deal in Scripture. So I hope I didn't come across, because it's, you know, it's kind of a nice series for the summer, because I know people are coming and going, and yet you hit one of these and you'll get a really good kind of overall idea as to what that area is about. We've talked about presence and empathy and suffering and those things. But it's really not just a cute little subject in Scripture. It is a huge deal in the Bible. And in fact, it comes out through this Ephesians passage. There are two things that happen. Let me explain to you what happens. First of all, everybody that you ever meet, and I know you're included in this idea, wants to have an abundant life, don't they? I mean, there are very few people that walk around going, "Well, I just hope I have a miserable life. I just hope I never get to do anything great, that nothing ever happens to me that's wonderful." Now, you might get some people that act like that, but really, honestly, you know, don't you want to have just an amazing life? A blessed and abundant, you know, Jesus was talking about the fact that it's a fulfilled life. Yeah, we really want to experience that. And that's what Ephesians is talking about. That's what it means to be blessed. But what we sometimes forget, and this is kind of the short teaching before the actual message today, is that on the other side of that, God wants to bless us. Isn't that something? So yeah, we want to be blessed, and God wants to bless us. And so when those two come together, guess what? Everyone wins. It truly is a blessing for everybody involved. And so Paul wrote that it is in Christ that we find that fulfillment. And it is as we give our lives to Jesus, as we live for Him, then God finds joy in pouring out His blessings on us. Isn't that a great picture of God, to understand that's who He is and what He wants for us? I had one of those moments this morning when you guys were all singing, "His love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me." Usually when I'm singing that, I'm thinking of me. And for some reason, I could hear all these individual voices this morning. And it was like, yeah, His love never fails you and you and you and you. It never runs out. And so it's just amazing when you step back and think about it, that when we give our lives to Christ and when we follow Him, we are blessed, and God has this amazing joy of blessing us and saying, "Yes, I want to do that in your life." So today's focus is yet another area of blessing that we see in God's children, literally from the beginning of Scripture clear through Revelation. And we're going to talk about it some more this morning. We're going to start with 2 Samuel chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 1 through 20, a little bit of a lengthy passage. But if you're able to stand during it, I'm going to invite you to do so as we read verses 1 through 20. We get the background for the story right here in the beginning of the passage. "David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, 'The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge and my Savior. From violent people you save me. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise and have been saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From His temple, He heard my voice. My cry came to His ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heaven shook. They trembled because He was angry. Smoke rose from His nostrils. Consuming fire came from His mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under His feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness His canopy around Him, the dark rain clouds of the day. Out of the brightness of His presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot His arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, He routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of breath from His nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. You can go ahead and have a seat. Well, I wish I could write like that. Isn't that good stuff? And kind of that last song set the stage for that, kind of that dramatic, you know. Yeah, that's really, really how David wrote. Well, in 1984, I heard a song for the first time that basically was the telling of the story of Peter in the book of Acts. And these are how the words go in that song. Take this man to prison, the man heard Herod say, and then four squads of soldiers came and carried him away. Chained up between two watchmen, Peter tried to sleep, but beyond the walls an endless prayer was lifting for his keep. Then a light cut through the darkness of a lonely prison cell, and the chains that bound the man of God just opened up and fell. And running to his people before the break of day, there was only one thing on his mind, only one thing to say. Some of you know the next line, don't you? You're trying to sing it, aren't you? Angels watching over me, every move I make. Angels watching over me. Angels watching over me, every step I take. Angels watching over me. How many could name the artist? Go ahead, just admit it. We lovingly call her Amy Grant, but it's really Amy Grant. But yeah, angels watching over me. And you just think about the reality of, you know, we go through many circumstances. And so the song really resonates because it goes on then and it talks about that there's this runaway car coming. And just before the car, you know, causes disaster, it runs out of gas. And the song is just kind of basically saying, you think that was an accident? That happened that way? Do you think that there wasn't a plan with this? And so I remember the first time I heard that song. You know, I hadn't studied Scripture a whole lot. I mean, I definitely had a basic understanding of all that. But there was something within me that really resonated. That God watches over us, doesn't He? That there are times that, and I'm going to talk about this in just a minute, where I don't think it's until we get to heaven that we're going to see these times in which His protection is so evident and so real. But I believe it's true. And so we're in this series on the ideas of blessings. And I've got to tell you, put down all the different ways in which Scripture says we're blessed. This was a huge one. There's so many verses that deal with God's protection. And there's so many passages to point out in our theme that I really kind of got overwhelmed. So you can brag today, okay? Because most sermons are 3 points, sometimes 4 points. You might get a 5-pointer, but you better not have lunch plans. All right? We have a 16-point message this morning. You can brag later today. I lived through a 16-point message. But it's going to go fast because what I'd really like us to do is we're going to start with 8 potential threats that the Bible points out. We're going to stick a lot to our passage that we just read, but these are just 8. Here are 8 things that we kind of all face as we walk through life. And I'm going to go really quick. Are you ready? Number 1 is enemies. We face enemies. Again, this is going to be kind of in the order of 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel 22 that we looked at. David was quick to point out the challenge he was immediately facing. Look at verse 1, chapter 22. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of whom? All his enemies. And from the hand of Saul. Jump down to verse 4. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise and have been saved from my enemies. And verse 18. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. Now, I'm sure again that if you've lived any length of time at all, that you've had in your life people who are opposed to you. People who don't like you maybe, or people who even, you know, try to get in your way of accomplishing something you want to accomplish. But I'm not sure that I could label anybody in my life, as David has, an enemy. I don't know that I've really ever had that kind of experience. And to be honest, we're kind of blessed to live in a part of the world where it is not necessarily a daily occurrence where you have to even be thinking about these kinds of things. So when you take it from David's perspective, he went through things that probably most of us aren't going to, but these are genuine threats. Verse 18 really pointed out, he said, the ones who were too strong for me. So that's what we're talking about. Not just even somebody who's, you know, negative against you or whatever. Oh, I can handle that. This is something that you don't have the capability of overcoming. It's too strong for you. So if this is ever true in your life, you're going to need resources to survive, aren't you? You're going to have something to help you. We'll get to those in just a few minutes. But this first threat that we find is the idea of an enemy or enemies in your life. Here's the second one. Violent people. Okay, now this is going to take it a little bit step. It's going to take it a step further. Again, even if you have had people in your life who you could call an enemy, this kind of takes it to another level, because this is to the point where violence is actually becoming a part of the story. And that's scary, isn't it? David understood how serious this was. Look at verse 3, chapter 22, verse 3. From violent people you save me. Now again, we live in a world that for the most part is devoid, or in an area where for the most part it's devoid of this kind of violence that you see. But that doesn't mean that someday we won't face it, does it? It doesn't mean that there won't be times and instances, and really that's a lot of what the news is all about, isn't it? I'm going to read some headlines here in a few minutes. So we all know that it is always a possibility, and it's usually when we least expect it. But there can be violent people intent on harming us. And we understand that is a challenge. Number three, there can be mortal threats. Mortal threats. And I didn't realize this until I was studying the passage. David shows us it's kind of an escalation. He's got enemies who become violent, and suddenly, I mean, his very life is on the line. That's what I mean. His very life is on the line. Mortal threats. So this escalation has happened. Now look at how serious the situation quickly became for him. Chapter 22, verse 5. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. All right. Now we know David is speaking very specifically about his enemies. He's speaking about these violent people that are in his life. But the truth is that if you have ever experienced a life and death situation, and I won't have you raise hands or anything, but I know some stories in our congregation where literally it was a life and death situation, you understand why the emotions come out so strongly in his writing. I mean, that takes you to a point of life that if you've never experienced it, you don't understand. Because it's suddenly like as if, wow, my life could have ended. And so it becomes kind of a mortal threat, this challenge that could be in our lives. This is tough stuff. And like I said, David experienced it. He knew what he was talking about. Number four, distress. Okay, distress, as I'm listing as number four. And again, it shouldn't surprise us, at least in David's case. He had enemies who were intent on ending his life. And therefore, well, listen to his words. Listen to what he says. Verse 20, or chapter 22, verse 7. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. Now, we use that word a lot of times. Oh, I was distressed. No, if you understand really what it means you're at the end of the rope. It means, what am I going to do? It means you feel cornered, like you're at wit's end. And so you're distressed. Now, that's part of his story with Saul, right? This feeling of being distressed or suffering mentally or physically. But This can happen again in any area of life, can it? And you know what I found interesting about life is that sometimes it happens to me when I least expect it. Sometimes with situations that might not even seem that overwhelming to somebody else. But for me, for some reason, all of a sudden it feels like the weight of the world is on my shoulders. Anybody else here ever feel that way? Like as if this is a pivotal moment and just the stress comes upon you. I was reading an article last week. It was really interesting. Johnny Erickson Tata just had the 50th anniversary of her diving accident where she became paralyzed really from the neck down. My brother was paralyzed in a diving accident 2 years to the month before her. And she is still just doing well. She draws with, she puts paintbrushes and pencils in her mouth and draws. I know most of you know her ministry. It's phenomenal. But if you go back and read her testimony about when the accident happened, I think distressed would be a good word that would describe when she was in the hospital and she realized, I can't feel anything. Upper shoulders all the way down. I can't feel anything. And she, the words, I don't even want to try to use her words, but that's the kind of distress that David is talking about here. Number five, deep waters. Deep waters. Again, this is a word picture that David gave to us, but it really defines the idea that we have in mind. Have you ever used this phrase? I think I'm in over my head. I use it multiple times every day, I think, sometimes. I think I'm in over my head. That's really what we're talking about. 2 Samuel 22, verse 17. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. It's a figurative picture, but I will ask, maybe just have you raise your hand. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought you might be drowning? Has anybody ever had that? I really did have it happen one time. I was water skiing with my brother when I was in high school, and he said, okay, you just drop off to the swimming area and swim into shore. So I did, but there was a rope around the area where you were supposed to swim, and I didn't have my contacts in, which meant I couldn't see the shore even. All I could see was the rope. I thought I had swum along the outside of the rope instead of swimming into shore, and I was out of breath. I couldn't, and I started screaming. And I was flailing, and I saw the lifeguard dive in. I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to die. It was horrible. I mean, it's a terrible panic feeling. And as I spun around, there was a lady standing on the shore, and she just looked at me, and she said, well, stand up. And I put my feet down. The water was only about this deep. I had been following the rope all along and thought I was still out in the deep end. I can't believe I just admitted that in public. But do you think the feeling that I had was any different? No, I thought I was going down for the count. I need to write that lady a thank you note sometime. She could have been nicer about it. She could have added the word moron to it, but anyway. Psalm 32, verse 6. Let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. Okay? That's God's protection. We can be threatened by those things in life that make us feel as though, you know what, I can't make this. I can't make it to shore. I'm going down. Number six. Got to move quickly. Number six is trouble. Okay? Trouble. Now, I wanted to include this one because it's used so much throughout Scripture, and there is not any single kind of definition or situation that it describes. It is a very general word in Scripture that does apply to every single one of us. The trouble that happens within life. And trouble creeps in so easily, doesn't it? Look at Psalm 32, verse 7. One of the perfect examples of this. You will protect me from trouble. It's like this umbrella definition. It's kind of a catch-all of everything that can happen in life. And I'll tell you, I get overwhelmed sometimes. I sat down, I'm like, you know, Lord, I've got to whittle this down, but I'm still going to be giving them eight things that are pretty significant. You start thinking about all of it, and it's like, I don't want to move. I don't want to leave. I don't want to try to go in the world. And that's kind of what trouble is. It overarches everything that we'll face. All right, number seven, and this is where it gets a little bit more troubling. All right, another challenge is wickedness and evil. Wickedness and evil. And this is one area where you'll find very few people in disagreement with Scripture. Even those who have no faith in God, they don't believe in the Bible at all, they still be very hard for them not to acknowledge the reality that there is a wickedness, there is a pervasive evil that can be seen in our world today and has always been there. Now, Paul acknowledged it through a prayer request. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. Pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. So I did. I wrote down a couple of headlines from this past week. You don't need to hear them, but I'm going to read them anyway, just to remind us. North Korea's leader continues to test nuclear weapons that could reach U.S. territories. Is that evil? Wow. Just think of the whole thing that's unfolding. Motorist drives into a group of police officers in Paris, an apparent terrorist incident. I mean, to think that you are driving a car and you are purposefully going to drive it into this group of police officers, where would your mind be? Where could your heart be? Virginia man bound, tied up, left in burning apartment is rescued by his neighbor. Somebody's planned this, right? And then I've been gone for the last couple, haven't been watching the news for the last couple of days and hear about this incident down south somewhere where a guy drove a car into this group of protesters and all that kind of stuff. Isn't racism a good example of evil and wickedness in our world? It really has no place in the church. That's what I love about the church is that, you know, everybody, His love never fails. It never gives up on who? On me and you and you and you and you and you. And yet there's so much evil and wickedness is clearly seen in this fallen world. And it's a challenge. Number 8 is the evil one. The evil one. And to me, this basically takes it right to the top of the spiritual warfare issue. But again, very clearly seen in several places in Scripture. The truth is, Satan would like nothing more than to bring down every single believer in the world. And to be honest, every single person in the world. No respecter of their faith system at all. But if he can get our hands on us, he wants to drag us down. And I think that's why Matthew chapter 6, what was a part of what Jesus taught us to pray? You know the Lord's Prayer, don't you? Verse 13, deliver us from the evil one. Lord, we need you. You talk about one that's too strong to handle on your own. That's kind of the top of the chart right there. Now, I know you're very aware. This is really just a very quick introduction. These are just 8 potential threats in our lives. They do barely scratch the surface. The fact is, the world is not a friendly place toward us, is it? The reality is, especially if you're a believer, there are going to be times where you are going to feel as though you're in over your head. But I decided as I was kind of walking through, rather than give one and then show the other, let's get through all that stuff and now let's talk about 8 different blessings of protection that I see in Scripture. Because it is very evident. You don't even have to read it very long, read Scripture very long, before you begin to see how these precious blessings are given to us in the midst of threats. And they're true for us today as well. Here's number 1. Deliverance. Deliverance. Okay. When you are in the midst of the threat and you experience God's deliverance, you will not be able to misunderstand what's happening. You will very clearly see it. Again, back to David's story. 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. It's very clear in David's mind. I didn't just happen to escape the circumstance. I was delivered, and it was from the Lord. The Lord delivered me from the hand of all my enemies. You know, I can remember as a kid, this was a very common theme of TV shows. You'd have bad people doing bad things, and then you'd have the good people that would come and rescue them. I mean, that was a really common theme as I was growing up. You know, someone was stuck on the roof of a burning building, and the helicopter comes down at the last second and saves them. I remember as a kid sitting in front of the TV just enthralled, you know. I remembered an old Emergency episode as I was preparing this. Anybody know the show Emergency? Boy, am I dating myself. But it's on True TV now, so you can go back and watch it. Is that the name of the TV channel? But it's an Emergency episode where this car crashed. And when he crashed, he went up over, and these were true stories, which is what I really still like about it. Went up on the guardrail and was teetering, in California, of course. And if the car went over the other side of the guardrail, it was a 300-foot drop. You know, now, especially as a kid, okay, I'm not lying. I still get all worked up about it. But you're sitting there going, somebody help, this guy's going to fall off the cliff. You know, and the fire truck pulls up and they pull the guy back. I've always kind of wished, you know, to be realistic in life. Let's show the one where the car went over, you know, and then get to him in time. But that wouldn't get very good ratings. But that's the idea, is they got there just in time to pull him back to safety. I kind of had a similar circumstance to this actually when I was interviewing at Community Church of Greenwood back in 1988. Okay, I came and interviewed, met with Pastor Charles, talked through everything that was going on. On the way back to North Carolina on the airplane, we were getting ready to land in Atlanta, and a wind shear hit the airplane, and we dropped and almost hit the runway, like straight down. And the pilot pulled it back up, and it was one of those things, if you've flown very much, where we're just like, it feels like we're just going straight up, stuff's flying all over the cabin, you know. We get reestablished, come back around for another landing, and the guy basically came, the pilot came on the PA and he said, "Sorry, folks, we know that was rough, but we figured you'd rather have a quick ascent than to land on the runway, you know, when you're not supposed," something like that. And I'm sitting there going, duh, you know, thank you for saving us. But deliverance, being plucked out right when you think it's there's no hope. Number two, refuge. Now, I got to tell you real quickly, we're not going to do this word justice this morning. This is a beautiful word in Scripture. It is a beautiful word that's used. David used it in recounting his scenario, chapter 22, verse 3. "My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my Savior. From violent people you save me." You get the idea, don't you? Refuge is like, it's like a shelter. It's a place where you're protected. When you're in that refuge, no harm can befall you. And David points out, that's how God is in my life. That's what God does in my life. Number three, scattering the enemy. And again, I use this phrase straight from 2 Samuel. You got to put yourself in his shoes and imagine when he wrote this, how he was feeling. But look at what he says, verse 15. "He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them." Okay, so yeah, the enemies are there, and all of a sudden it's like, just disperse them, just get rid of them. To me, it kind of reminded me again of some of the old westerns where, you know, just at the nick of time, the cavalry comes over the hill, you know, playing the trumpet, marching in to save the day. That's kind of how you look at it. Except here, it's the King of Kings. It's the Lord of Lords who saved the day on his behalf. Number four, rescue. Now, this is tied in very closely with deliverance, but it has to do with the idea of overcoming impossible odds. Okay, you're being rescued from impossible situations. 2 Samuel 22, verse 18. "He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me." I love it when David's honest like that, because David was an amazing man, wasn't he? He's the one that brought down Goliath and did all those things for Israel. But he says here, "This was too much for me. I could not do this." So who rescued him? God did. Look at verse 20. "He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." I think that's beautiful. We talk a lot today about rescue pets, don't we? I think that's great. I think that's fantastic. What a beautiful picture that God loves us so much that he rescues us from all of the stuff that happens in the world. That's how he views us. Number five, support. Support. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a very personal word. Okay, there isn't really a definition that we can give because you know what? Support is experienced. It's not necessarily explained. Does that make sense? But you know when you are supported. 2 Samuel 22, verse 7. "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears." Have you ever been praying and it just overwhelms you? God's listening. God hears me. God's got this. Look at verse 19. "They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support." Now, we do have a testimony today. It is a video testimony, and I think it fits this part of our blessing as well as any that I've heard. But listen to this story of protection, I believe, from Clark and Robin Holland.
At the time, kind of where it all started, we already had five children, and I was feeling extremely overwhelmed with five children. I was having a lot of challenges at work, and things were not clicking well at all, and I was just praying and seeking God, and just like, what should I do about work? Do I need to go in a different direction? Do I need to do something completely different? And the only thing that I heard was, you need to stay open to having more children. And I was just like, God, you don't get it. I'm talking about work, not about, you know, other aspects of life. And he said, no, you need to stay open to having more children.
And then we got pregnant with the twins, and, you know, everything was good. We had a great pregnancy, and just went into the delivery, and Molly came out real easily, and then my placenta had fallen, and so Lily got stuck. She couldn't get out. So about 45 minutes later, they kind of got through the C-section, but by that time, she was in really bad shape. And they sent her up to Riley, and she basically was in a coma for about 2 weeks.
Literally called a code on her, and you know, she was. They were able to revive her after a lot of work.
They would do EEGs, and there was just nothing. Probably early on, you know, one of the practitioners that was working with her basically asked us if we wanted to plug. And, you know, we were not ready. We were still very hopeful that, you know, she was going to be okay. And our doctor was just like, well, let's wait. You know, we're going to wait a little while and all that. And, you know, after about 2 weeks, you know, the doctor kind of took us aside and said, you know, we really, you know, I'm getting ready to go on, you know, a leave for a couple of days, and, you know, we're getting ready to do, I think it was an MRI, just to check where the brain damage was, see. But she basically said, you know, we're really looking at moderate to severe disability. She's really not coming out of it. And then it was like, all of a sudden, she kind of woke up, and we looked at her, and it's like, we kind of had this thing where we're like, she's in there. Like, you could see in her eyes that she was in there. And she just started coming to. And, you know, the doctor came back 4 days later and she said, this is not the same thing. And, you know, they sent her home within a couple days. And she just, you know, continued to just kind of steadily make progress. We did a lot of therapy when she was little. And she's doing amazing. We could not have made it through without all of the people that came and surrounded us. We had meals for so long. We had people that would come and fold our laundry and take care of our other kids. And then just people praying for us. Like, I had people years later when they would meet us that I didn't know before say, oh, we prayed for Lily when she was born. And I mean, they didn't even know us, and they were praying for us.
With this one, it just felt like it was more God orchestrating, you know, that we were to have this additional blessing.
Those stories until they start crying. Then I don't do so well. So thanks a lot for crying. Good grief. Now I got to do my last 3 points and get through it. Number 6 is a hiding place. Okay, a hiding place. Now again, this one is tied in very closely with the idea of refuge, but look at the difference. Psalm 32, verse 7. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. It's the idea that you can duck in here. You can trust me. Again, I remember going on a bike ride one time. I was riding up to Indianapolis to my sister-in-law's house, and this storm was coming, and I was already tired, and I had to hurry to get out of this storm because it was going to be bad, and I had no protection. The first building coming up was a church, and I ran in the lobby, and the storm was horrible, but I just felt like, here's my hiding place. I'm hiding in here. I'm safe. Number 7 is strength. Strength. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on this morning because next week, that is actually the blessing that we're going to study, is the idea of the spiritual blessing of strength. But understand that it fits in clearly with the idea of being blessed with protection. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful and He will strengthen you. You know, and sometimes He strengthens us even when we don't expect it. What did Isaiah say? That even youths grow tired and weary, right? But the Lord comes along and it's like wings of eagles, that strength comes. Number 8 is protection. Last one, I close with the word that really was the inspiration for this part of our series, because it comes directly from a couple of passages. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Just outright the blessing of protection. Matthew 6:13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Protect us from the evil one. Now, I've got to tell you, I think today's topic, I think they all are, they're so important to understand Scripture. But I think today is such a big, you know, overarching idea of Scripture, because the bottom line is simply this. There are many, many times, there may be some time today where you experience God's protection. And as I mentioned earlier, some of those times you're going to be very clearly able to just give a testimony like the Hollins did today, or like some story from your life. I know many of you have some of these stories. But I also believe there will be times when we get to heaven where God's going to show us, times where He protected us and we weren't even aware of it. Are you thankful this morning for God's protection? Do you worship Him because of what He does in your life? I think it's yet another indicator that it only makes sense to me to trust your life with Him, to just give Him everything. We sang all the songs about who He is and the power that He has and everything. Why would I hold anything back from that? I want Him to have it all. I want Him to direct it all. Now, I want to close today with one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, because I think this one draws together everything that we've talked about and really shows us the strength from Scripture of what we're talking about with God's protection. Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 31 to 39 together. Very familiar passage to most of you, I know, but think of it in light of everything we've talked about this morning. And I'm going to invite you here at the end, if you're able, just stand as we read this closing portion of Scripture. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Does that sound like blessings? Verse 30. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for whom? For us. His love never fails. It never gives up. Never runs out. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now here comes a list. Should trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors, but there's a specific reason why we are. What does it say? Through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. It is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Awesome. Let's pray together. Father, I know that this path of life can be very difficult. I know that even as this message is being proclaimed this morning from your word, that there are some here today who are really struggling, who are going through some very hard times. And it's tough to consider the reality that you want to bless us in so many ways when maybe we're hurting today. And yet, Lord, I know that from David's experience that when I feel overwhelmed like that, if I go to You and I spend that time with You, that even if the circumstances don't necessarily change, even if there are still difficulties because we live in a fallen world, You do come along and offer us those things that we've read. You are our refuge. You are our hiding place. You are our support. Father, we know that apart from You, victory will not come. But as we place our lives completely in Your hands, You will come along and You will bless us, and not just in the ways that are on this wall behind me, but in a multitude of ways of which we'll never be able to count. So, Lord, I thank You for these promises. I thank You for the the support that you give us on a daily basis, and I pray whatever everybody is facing today, you would help them to turn to you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen.